How you doing?
There's no masking tonight.
I know, I saw the one today, but
we'll see it too, right?
Had me worried for a while.
Had me worried for a while too. One thing I think you'll see is that what's his name? He used to be a closer. Isn't the closer anymore. The Mets.
Oh, we're talking about baseball?
Of course. What else?
He used to be a closer, isn't a closer anymore.
Yeah, he's the guy that gave up the 3 runs in the 8th inning. With the right hand. I can't remember his name.
Oh, wow.
Hey, James. How you doing, Tom?
That was not today, but the other.
That was today. The Mets closer.
I know. Oh, yeah. The guy that had Tommy John surgery,
right.
And he was back to being 96 today or something like that. But, they worked on him. But, you know, everybody's going to have a bad game.
Yeah, but he had that good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you got 3 good games and 1 bad game, okay. You got 4 bad games in a row,
Hello, Tidewater.
Hello, Blink Trident.
Well, it's 7 o'clock. I'm going to call the regular meeting of the Fluvanna County Planning Commission for July 22nd to order at this time. First order of business is a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item is our director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Bibb. I have a couple items to report. The Board of Supervisors, July 15th meeting, they approved ZMP 1503, the White Oak Stone Company, 4-0. And it's not listed on there, but they also upheld the subdivision agent's appeal in regard to the Cunningham Meadows subdivision, that the subdivision agent was withholding a certificate of occupancy. Those are the only board actions to report this past month.
Thank you. The next item.
It's going to court. Is that what you just said?
No. That's
it.
That was the only board.
They upheld his ruling.
Right.
Next item is our first of 2 public comment sections for the night. Anyone wishing to come forward and talk about any other item than the items that's on the agenda tonight, if you're here for those, you will be allowed to speak at that time. So first, you're limited to 3 minutes each, and anyone wishing to come forward at this time, state your name and your address. Seeing no one wanting to make public comments at this time, I'll close public comments, and we will go on to approval minutes of the June 24th meeting. Does anyone have any comments about the meetings, or does anyone want to make a motion about the minutes?
I have one comment on the minutes. I gave it to Deirdre, but on the BZA 1502, I wanted her to put in that it was the Evergreen Baptist Church, and for a reduction in minimal setback required from a public road from 75 feet to 50 feet with respect to 1.006 acres of tax map section A, parcel 74. BCA granted the church a 50-foot setback.
Okay. Do I have a motion with that change or addition?
Yes, I'd like to go ahead and move that. We accept the minutes with the update.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay. I have a motion from Mr. Gaines. I have a second from Mr. Johnson. All in favor, say aye.
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 Chair votes aye, 4-0.
Mr. Chairman, the record should show Mr. Zimmer's not present.
Okay. With one Mr. Zimmer not present. Okay. The next item that we're going to is public hearings. The first public hearing is SUP 1504, George W. Dancy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is actually a joint public hearing. Mr. Dancy is applying for a rezoning tonight from R1 to A1, and also applying for a special use permit for a small restaurant. And so I've coupled those together with this presentation. So again, the request is to rezone. It's 1.95 acre parcel. It's tax map 36, section 1, parcel 1, from R1 residential limited to A1 agricultural general. It's in the rural residential planning area, and the parcel currently contains a dwelling and a few accessory buildings. This is a zoning map. As you can see, there's an approximate 300-foot wide band on either side of Route 6 that apparently was rezoned in the 1970s. We couldn't find any written documentation on it, but it is part of our official zoning map, and it is zoned R1. And what Mr. Dancy has done is taken a survey of the R1 zone area. It is approximately 1.95 acres. I'll show you that here in just a second. This is an aerial image. This is the property here. This is the survey Mr. Dancy has had performed. You can see the distinction, the zoning line here between the R1 and the A1, and again the area that he would request rezoning from R1 back to A1 is 1.95 acres. A few photographs for the commission. This is the existing building that they would like to occupy, the small restaurant, specifically a bakery. That's required to have a special use permit in the A1 district. This is successfully rezoned to A1, back to A1. This is a front building, front of the building, looking west towards Scottsville. Again, he's requesting rezoning from R1 to A1 of 1.95 acres simultaneously with the special use permit request for a small restaurant. It's in the rural residential planning area. Comprehensive plan considers this area to be intended to conserve open space and to limit any commercial development. This would be a small-scale restaurant. I believe the definition is under 2,000 square feet or less, and this is way under that. I think it's probably less than 1,000 square feet. Less than 500.
Above 500.
Thank you, Mr. Dancy. And it's staff's understanding this building has been used in various forms for commercial since the 1940s, but never for a restaurant. So in conclusion, the rezoning request appears to meet the intention of the comprehensive plan, and it's not in a growth area. It's rural residential per our comp plan. Development would be small scale, serving the needs of the community, and Planning Commission should consider how the request does or doesn't align with the comprehensive plan. And I have suggested motions for both the rezoning and the special use permit on the screen. Mr. Dancy is here, and I believe the young ladies who would like to operate the bakery are also present if you have any questions.
Steve, at one time, was part of this property A1 already, and they zoned it to R1? The back part of that to R1?
The latter portion is still A1.
Okay.
I'll go back to the zoning map.
I believe that's been A1 since...
Since 1974, probably. So, and I've spoken with the building official and a few other local folks who remember the history on it. Again, we couldn't find any written documentation, but it is per our map, per our paper maps even, appears to be a approximately 600 foot wide, 300 feet on either side of the road. To answer your question, yes, the latter portion, the predominant acreage of the parcel is still A1. He just wants to go ahead and rezone the portion fronting on 6 back to A1.
Anybody have any questions? Would the applicant like to say anything?
Yes, my name is George W. Danson, and my address is 1691 West River Road. And like Jason alluded to, this has been a commercial piece of property since about 1948. My grandparents had it as a general store. It sold sandwiches and baked goods. It has been occupied almost continuously since then, you know, as a commercial establishment or as an office space. And I did not know that it was not zoned commercial until that addition. It's not an addition. I had to replace. The foundation was rotting on this piece. It's existing footprint, but nothing changed. But the foundation was gone, so I had to pull it off. And once these girls approached me about putting in a bakery, a small restaurant there, I said, well, we've got to run gas lines, and we've got to redo some plumbing and stuff, so I said, I better go get a permit. When I got the permit, that's when all this came up. Had I not had to tear the addition off, y'all would never seen me. I just opened it because I thought it was commercial. I did not know this until I came down and met with Steve and Darius. So, you know, to me, I mean, it's numerous places up there, like the Loretta 6 Market just opened, you know, and that was grandfathered in. They didn't have to go through all this, and I didn't know what I was going to do this either, so.
Yeah.
But I'm into it now, so.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Danzy?
Mr. Danzy, was there any reason that you didn't want a BC, or business convenience, or B1, where you would not have had to get a special use permit?
I didn't know anything about it.
Okay. That way you would have just gotten that zoning, and if you wanted to
profit
things out.
I think the idea was to have one zoning on the property.
Yeah, I thought that might be.
And he's not in a growth area, mm-hmm. So rezoning to B1 or BC may not be appropriate.
The thought was he's in the agricultural area and not in a growth area, and A1 would probably be more appropriate.
And I have gone and talked to the adjoining neighbors, and they're saying this, when does it go up?
Yeah.
They're not rejecting it at all, so they said, we'd like to have it. Okay?
Thank you.
Ms. Eager, I think your question's a good one. And I'm sure you recall that BC was designed to permit country stores in rural areas. Mm-hmm. So it didn't have to be in a BC zoning doesn't have to be in a growth area. Now, with that said, I'm not interposing any objection to this, but for the commission's consideration, not necessarily in this case, but in other cases, BC is, according to its terms, or it may be appropriate in rural areas where there are to be limited commercial uses.
Yeah, I just wondered, because it had been commercial for so many years, that then.
If you I think you recall this discussion, but what happened was there were lots of country stores all over the county, and there were questions about how much they could expand and what they could do and all the sales and things, and that's how BC was developed, because we only had one commercial district, and that was the B1, which is obviously more intensive than we're talking about for something like this. And BC is much more nearly fits this. Mm-hmm. But we do have certain commercial uses are permitted in A1 by special use permit.
Right.
So again, I'm not interposing any objection to it, but just for the commission's background, Mrs. Eager's question is well taken.
And I, for one, that live in that area and have known this property for 40-some years. I actually knew it before that, but I've lived in that area for 40-some years. But I always thought it was a business location, because there's been businesses there ever since I remember, and everybody always referred to it as the Dancy Plumbing Building and so forth. And many businesses have operated there, and I would have not. They'd opened up, I'd have thought nothing of it.
I bet you Mr. Johnson could go around the county and put his finger on these maps and say, Kent Store, kids' store.
So, is there any other questions? Do we want to have any discussion?
I think it's a logical place to have a business. It's been a business, and this brings it into compliance, and I wish you both good luck with your baking endeavor and restaurant, and I'll make the motion if that's okay. Do you want to say something?
Go ahead.
You want me to make a motion?
You should have two motions, one for the rezoning, one for the special use.
Okay, and we'll vote on them independently, one at a time, okay?
Right.
Yeah. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of the attached ordinance for ZMP 1504, a request to amend the Fluvanna County zoning map with respect to approximately 1.95 acres of tax map 36, section 1, parcel 1, to amend the same from R1 residential limited to A1 agriculture general.
Okay, I have a motion on ZMP 1504 from Mrs. Eager. Do I have a second?
Yes, sir, you do.
Okay, I have a motion from Mrs. Eager, a second from Mr. Gaines. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0, and with Mr. Zimmer not in attendance.
Sure,
okay.
I'll take that.
Do I have a motion on SUP 1504?
Yes, I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1504, a request for a special use permit to allow for a small restaurant with respect to approximately 1.95 acres of tax map 36, section 1, parcel 1, if approved, subject to the 7 conditions listed in the staff report.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion from Mr. Gaines, a second from Mrs. Eager on SUP 1504. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0, and Mr. Zimmer, not present.
Mr. Chairman, let me point out one thing. That is, this rezoning was for 1.95 acres. And when I saw that, I had a misperception that somebody else might have too, so I just wanted to bring it up so it's clear. And that is 1.95 acres is not enough for a 2-acre lot as required by the A1 zoning, but it doesn't make any difference in this case because the rest of the property is already zoned A1. So just if anybody brings up that it shouldn't be rezoned because it's less than 2 acres, that's the answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
So does in the deed books, would it be one parcel?
I think it already is one parcel.
Okay.
This is just a zoning line.
Okay.
The zoning line, in effect, the zoning line is going west.
Business for residential.
Just for that parcel.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all going to be one A1 parcel.
But I just didn't want, I didn't want there to be a misunderstanding like I had when I first read it.
But the operation of the business is going to be on this 1.95 acres. Our next listed item is presentations, but we're going to skip over that and go to the site development plan, and Mr. Lindsay will bring up our presentation after that.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Commissioner. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
Good luck.
The next item on the agenda is a site development plan for SDP 1510, White Oak Stone Company.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is a SDP 1510. It's a site development plan for sketch approval for a 1,500 square foot office building and a 2,500 square foot storage building on 4.337 acres of tax map 5, section A, parcel 59. You may recall this came before you back in June for rezoning, and the board did vote to approve the rezoning at their July 15th meeting from A1 to I1. So the applicant, Mr. Heffron, submitted the site plan in anticipation that the rezoning may be approved, and so that's why it's before you tonight as a form of a site plan. And this is an aerial photograph. It's approximately 1,000 feet south of the intersection of 15 and 250. And this is the applicant's sketch plan. Again, it's a more or less landscaping material supply business with an office building and a storage building. And Mr. Miller, Tim Miller, is the applicant's engineer. He's here tonight, can answer any technical questions. Mr. Heffern's absence. A few site photographs for the commission. This is looking, existing site from 15 looking east, and again, it's about 4.3 acres, mostly open, and looking north. I believe they plan to retain this large oak tree here, and with the final site plan, they'll be required to plant tree trees. They have a 50-foot setback, building setback requirement from the adjacent agricultural zoning districts, and a 25-foot parking setback. He's proposing 12 parking spaces with this site plan, and would be served by private well and septic system. It does appear to be in requirements with the zoning ordinance, and of course, he'll have to come back with the final site plan, and we'll review it for landscaping and lighting. And with that, staff is recommending approval of the site plan. Again, Mr. Miller's here if you have any questions for him. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
I have one question for Mr. Payne, and I'm not sure we need to do this, but in our contents of our package, it says A1 agriculture pending I1. Now, it already is I1, so should we change that or should we leave that?
The at the time the staff report was prepared, it was pending.
I know.
It has subsequently been approved by the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
That's effective immediately. So the and I don't remember whether Mr. Tugwell made this clear or not, but it is clear that it is zoned I-1 and the analysis was done under the I-1 zoning.
Yeah, okay, I just wondered whether if part of our minutes it should be.
If Ms. Creasy was listening, I bet you it will be part of your business.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Tugwell?
I have a question, but it probably is for Mr. Miller.
Yes.
Section 2216.3F of our code says, to the greatest extent possible, parking shall not be located between the adjacent public right-of-way and the principal structure of the site. The parking seems to be closest to the road. Is it possible to put parking on the other side?
I can check with Dave and see. I know he wants to use that area in the back for some storage. You may be able to
bring the
in between the two buildings. Move the building closer to the road and put the parking behind that? Is that
that's
your
what
suggestion?
You've suggested, that, isn't it? In
right, that's
review?
Yes, ma'am. That's what we suggested in our TRC comments, and that is, as Ms. Eager pointed out, that's what our zoning ordinance encourages, is relegated parking behind the main structure of the structures, not between the structures and the main road. So. And if it's not practical to maybe use a berm, landscape berm, or something that
shelters the parking,
blocks the visibility of the parking from the main highway. So I would, yes, staff would like to see that on the final site plan.
Okay, I'll check with the owner.
Okay, and the other questions I had is the entire acreage to be paved? It looks on the site plan that it's all paved. And if that's the case, I guess you'll have to do ENS anyway if it's more than an acre.
Stormwater management and ENS, yes.
Yeah.
The bulk of it will be paved, but we'll have to accommodate stormwater management, water quality measures on the property as well. So the exact area isn't known at the moment. We'll get into those details during the final site plan. Would like to get as close to what he has here as possible.
And then the other question I had is, will the material bins be screened because they're right up on the road?
There is a requirement in the zoning ordinance that I think the ordinance refers to it as objectionable features. And there is a screening requirement between the adjoining
property owners,
residential or agricultural properties, and his outdoor storage areas. So you will be required to show screening on the final site plan. It won't be mature screening right away, but he will be required to show it on the plan. And then there's the 50-foot setback between A1, and then there's a 25-foot parking setback. So all those things come into play.
Can I clarify, is screening applied to the frontage of public road view?
Yeah, you're required to have street trees along 15.
Yeah. Is that screening for screening purposes as well?
Yes, and it's all in the in the ordinance. And if you'd like, I can meet with you or Mr. Heffron in preparation for your final plan, so you know everything to include on that on the final.
Okay.
Also, the code requires lighting, just so you know, if you have 5 spaces or more, it requires lighting, and it has to be full cutoff, fully shielded lighting, no higher than 20 feet. So just be prepared for that.
Okay.
Also.
So you have a suggestion for a change to the conditions that would reflect what you raised. That is, condition number 1 talks about meeting the site plan requirements, including but not limited to providing parking, landscaping, tree protection, and outdoor lighting plan. And my suggestion would be that I wasn't listening as carefully as I should have been when you gave the citation to the relegated parking section, but I think it would be helpful to reference that section in connection with the parking.
Okay.
So it would be providing parking, parenthesis, C section.
22.26.3F?
Yes. And parenthesis, landscaping, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
No change in the recommendation except to make specific reference to that section.
It does say to the greatest extent possible. So I guess that gives them some leeway.
It does, and that's why I say if you reference the section, it will include not only the condition but the limitation on it. I mean, the requirement, but also the limitation on the requirement.
Okay, yes.
Now, I want to point out that's only one word and a number.
One word and a number, which is
section
22.26.3F.
So I don't want to be accused of putting a lot of extra words in here.
Yeah.
Okay, does anybody have any other questions for the applicant? Is there any other discussion? Seeing the public here, I don't see any necessity to ask for opening the public hearing, because I reckon this is the public hearing.
There is no public hearing.
That's right, it's a site development plan anyway.
Okay.
Do I have a motion with the special language?
I move to approve SDP 1510, a sketch plan to construct a 1,500 square foot office building and a 2,500 square foot storage building with respect to 4.337 acres of tax map 5, section A, parcel 59, subject to the conditions listed in the staff report, with the addition of section 22-26-3-F. Is that okay?
I think that you're referencing my recommendation. Yeah, I think Screech can figure that out.
I have a motion from Mrs. Eager. Do I have a second?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Gaines seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0, and Mr. Zimmer not in attendance. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next item will be a presentation by Jay Lindsay, the preliminary Columbia zoning discussion, the discussion for zoning options in the Columbia area.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a very brief, just preliminary to get it sort of back in your minds and get us all in the same context. Obviously, this is an aerial view of Columbia surrounded by the red line there, and it's indicated, its location is indicated in the county by this red circle. So there it is right there. You can see Point of Fork and the convergence right there, and Goshen County starting right about there. These are the current zonings, as shown both on our GIS and in the 2000-something rezoning. This is what they're designated as and what they currently are. Everything that is on here as yellow is R1, and everything that's pink is B1. All of this green is your A1 properties. And of course, all of this is down in the flood zone. And then this is just to give you a little context on what surrounding zoning is. This is the town of Columbia, this tiny square or rectangle. As you can see, the line of R1 and B1. And as you can see, almost everything surrounding it is A1 with certain exceptions, and even those are fairly far away. So that's where we're at as far as...
Those are the designations under Columbia's zoning ordinance. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to apply our ordinances to the town.
When the town ceases to exist, which I anticipate is going to happen right after the turn of the year, the town zoning ordinance will no longer be effective to the extent that it's effective now. It will be ineffective, and what we'll have to do is apply our zoning to it. But that doesn't mean that you can't take account of what the town zoning is in choosing how to apply our ordinance. So you might, for example, if there's, I assume yellow is some kind of residential.
That's correct. It's R1.
You might very well choose to make that R4, for example, because that's probably the closest that we have to their R1. And then the pink is commercial.
B1, yes.
That whether or not you want to make that all commercial is another issue, but that's a lot of commercial area for that kind of that space in that location. That might have made sense in 1920, but it probably doesn't make a lot of sense now.
Well, they don't have the one business down there.
That's my question, is how many businesses?
Well, you mean legal businesses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, legal, right. Yeah.
I mean, the sheriff tells me they have a lot of business down there.
Yeah. It's also worth noting that this is St. James Street. When I first looked at it, I thought wrongly that maybe that was, but St. James, which is the main drag, is this one, 6. So this is all way down towards the flood area.
I think that's the canal basin, actually.
The thing that I thought was, yeah, so that's pretty far down there.
So all the businesses on the riverside of 6? Is that 6
no,
right there?
No,
this is 6 right here. So yes, that's correct. Everything... Well, except for those.
Well, those are not necessarily all businesses. That's the business district.
Do we have?
So there's only one business. I mean, you know,
right. Yeah.
Well, the problem is there were various businesses, and they've suffered from time to time from encroachments by Old Man River, and so the businesses have ceased to operate, but the town had them zoned commercial. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to come in here and say, "Well, the town had that colored pink, so we got to color it pink, make it B1." I'm not telling you have to do that, but you have the right to consider what the town has done in the past.
Can we do all of this under one public hearing?
Yes, because the Board of Supervisors can initiate the rezoning.
So we'll need to get a board of supervisors.
Yeah, the commission can initiate the rezoning too, actually. But either the board or the commission would have to initiate the rezoning.
Well, Fred, some of those buildings in Longvale and the pink that we see, they wouldn't even pass a structural inspection.
No, they're not. That's right.
So, I mean, you know, they'd be condemned almost from the start.
Well, one thing that Mr. Lindsay told you is that there's a lot of floodplain here. The floodplain's an overlay district. So you could, for example, have a property down there and zone it, you know, let's say BC. I'll call that light commercial or rural commercial. You could do that, even though part of it's in the floodplain, because that would allow you to do other things with it, like put an entrance in or maybe even a parking lot or something like that, even though it's in some portion of the floodplain. So
yeah, some of the pink is in the actual floodplain?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
How much of that is in the floodplain?
Most of it. So if you're walking along 6 here,
yeah,
and you look to the other side of the street, you'll see these buildings, uh-huh, some of these buildings, and I believe the floodplain would start, depending, either in these properties or in some cases all the way up.
Yeah, all the way up to the road.
Well,
there's actually some of the floodplain that's on the other side of the road, because there's a stream that goes through there. And the floodplain follows the stream.
Yeah, I've seen.
Which is east and west then?
That's east.
So Goochland is off this way and Scottsville is off that way.
Well, I've seen them rowing a boat right straight up the street there when we had one of the big.
I bet you did.
But we have a floodplain ordinance that we just initiated, adopted. So
we just revised
it. Revised it. So perhaps the pink shouldn't even be anything but floodplain.
Well, what I'm saying is it may not be.
Yeah.
But there are reasons that you might want to leave it commercial. So, for example, if you had I'm making this up as I go along.
Okay.
But if you, I don't know how to use lasers, except when attached to a pistol. But you might, for example, let's say you have this property and it's, let's assume that you decide that it's appropriate to be commercial, and the floodplain comes in something like that.
Oh wow!
I don't know that it does, but it might.
Okay.
So if it did, you couldn't put the building in there, but you might very well be able to put the entrance in, or the parking or the landscaping or something like that. So what you would do is you would the floodplain ordinance is one that's physically determined. In other words, when you put in a B1 designation, you decide the line should come at a particular location for whatever reason you think is appropriate. Mm-hmm. With the floodplain, it's there because that's where the flooding is. And so the flooding is not going to follow these nice straight lines. It's going to follow the topography. Mm-hmm. And my point about it is that it's not as simple as saying, well, if it's in the floodplain, then we're just zoning floodplain and forget about it. You need to consider that part of the property might be floodplain, part of it might not be. And there are things that you can do in the floodplain connected to a commercial use that you would need to have commercial zoning for the underlying property, even though you could put a store there, but you might very well be able to put an entrance or even a parking lot or something like, or a sign or something like that.
Let me ask you a question. Are y'all going to have to go down there and look at each individual property and make a determination whether they fall in that floodplain or whatever? Because I'm looking at some things that I think that are showing up as business that I think are apartments now.
They probably are. The floodplain's a different story because the zoning ordinance, in my personal experience in Columbia, hasn't been enforced really at all for probably at least 20 years. I mean, it's sort of on the books.
Maybe ever.
No, actually, that's not true. It has been enforced in my memory, but
I have a longer memory than a lot of people. But the floodplain is relatively easy to determine because there are established maps that are put out by FEMA. And you can superimpose those maps on the other. The GIS program would probably allow you to do that automatically. So what you do basically is you apply the overlay district, the floodplain overlay district, within the area designated by FEMA as the flood hazard area.
Right.
I thought we were going to get some grant money and tear down those old buildings going through town on the right going toward Richmond.
Mr. Stewart might be able to comment on this better than I. At least one of those grants was denied.
Oh, really?
And I think they haven't acted on it.
They haven't acted on the flood grant, but the DCD grant was denied. They're not bringing back a new application.
Did they tell you why it was denied? Yeah. Buying the buildings and tearing them down.
Did they tell you why it was denied?
All kinds of
federal government.
It was a number of
logistical reasons.
They're more viable competitors.
Okay.
That's a good idea. The grant process. There's a whole list of reasons.
There was all this confusion about, well, you know, if the town applies for it, you have a better chance of getting it. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, well, you know, if this were not the town, if it were the county, you'd have a better chance of getting it. That's the kind of communications we were getting. Suffice to say, the staff is going to have to go down and do a pretty detailed analysis of this. Now, obviously,
we have a lot of the records on each structure through the Columbia Task Force.
That's correct, with their current values and
the whole town's not as big as a good sized subdivision, too. So mm-hmm. This is really not a huge job.
So I think we'll first of all need the overlay for the
floodplain.
And maybe you should start assembling the people who, the owners, you know, so that we'll know who's, you'll have, obviously have to contact them at some point and say, I'm sorry, you're in the floodplain, you can't do this, this, or this. So.
And we might need
It's largely help. One owner.
Oh, I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
And so we might want to know what each location is being used for at this time and whether it's suitable for that.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. That's all part of what the staff's going to have to do.
And probably in January, we'll probably have to amend the comprehensive plan to add this as part of the comprehensive plan.
Yes.
Have there been any types of plans or requests from the town of Columbia to do something so that it doesn't flood so frequently there? Levee?
Not really.
Flood wall?
No.
If the name Raymond Thacker means anything to you, that's the difference between Scottsville and Columbia.
Yep. That he went to Washington.
Okay.
Got it done. 105 years old right now, though.
So he only works 12 hours a day.
Bless his heart.
So that ends what I had for you on that.
So we'll ask for either a resolution for the Planning Commission to initiate us to look into rezoning the area, then we'll come back with some.
Well, what I would suggest is that the staff do a lot of this background research and at least have a tentative idea of how it should be done, and then have the resolution of intent reflecting what the staff's at least preliminary conclusions are.
Do they go to the board first or to us first?
They can do it either way. The statute allows the amendment of the zoning map in three ways. One is by resolution of the board, by motion of the Planning Commission, and by application of the landowner for his land. So in this case, it wouldn't be appropriate to use number three. One and two are, in this case, I think it makes more sense to have the commission initiate the change, because it's really not a question of whether the property needs to be zoned. It's a question of how it needs to be zoned. because it'll be the only unzoned property in Fluvanna County.
And we have already previously been appointed the Planning Commission for Columbia.
You have, but that won't make any difference.
Won't make any difference because we'll automatically be that after January.
No, the town will simply cease to exist.
Right. Okay.
And one thing you need to remember, and people got confused about this throughout this process, the county is not taking over the town. The town has always been part of the county. Mm-hmm. It simply, the town structure simply goes away. And this becomes an unincorporated part of the town, just like Dixie or Kent Store or whatever it might be.
There is no political structure to it.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, how will this rezoning affect the people that still live there? Or will it affect them at all?
It depends on... yes, it will affect... How it will affect them depends on what zoning ends up being applied to them, what they want to do, what's physically, financially feasible to do. So, one question, for example, is by way of example... Answering your question, at one point there was an inquiry came in. I want to put a mobile home in the town of Columbia. Can I do that? Mm-hmm. And my answer to that was, you need to go ask the mayor. And she was very good. She did some sort of sidestep on that. I'm not sure how she answered it. But
is there a mobile home in the town?
No, I don't think it was ever established. But mm-hmm. I don't think there was provision for mobile homes in the town, yeah, under the town zoning ordinance. But that question would be, you know, the owner of parcel X wants to put a mobile home on it, and you've zoned it R4, which doesn't provide for mobile homes.
Right.
Then he wouldn't be able to do that.
What happens when the political structure goes away, and say a building inspector would go there and see a building that people are living in that was unsafe? What would happen in a situation like that?
Well, they're still subject to the building code. It's not subject to a zoning ordinance.
We don't have a state maintenance code. There are cities that have maintenance codes. Charlottesville has a maintenance code, for example, but Fluvanna County does not, and the Commonwealth does not. There is a provision that I think I haven't checked on this lately, but the town had a dangerous structures ordinance. I think we do too. Let's say there's somebody living there and the structure's unstable. It's going to fall down. That unsafe structures ordinance can be used to condemn that property.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the health, safety, and welfare
sure.
of the people. And, you know, that was just, you know.
Well, that's one of the things that people talk about all the time is a building maintenance code. So that if somebody owns a building in Columbia and let's say they want to rewire it, they have to comply with the building code in order to rewire it. I'm making this up, of course. Or they want to tear the roof off and build a new kind of roof, they need a building permit. In order to have the building permit, they have to comply with the building code. But if they just go there, they live there, and the building is there, the building code doesn't apply to that because it's a prospective regulation, not a retrospective one. It's not a maintenance code; it's a building code.
Do we have any idea how many homes per acre, if you mapped it out? Because I have a feeling it's not going to fit R1 or maybe not even R4.
Why
some
not?
Of them, it looks like they're closer than that. You know, like towns who used to be, I mean, the houses are closer to the road and closer to
the densest zoning we have is R4.
Yeah.
And that's 3+ years an acre.
I think that sounds correct.
So maybe we should figure out whether they're even close to compliance. If you zone them R4 and they're not zone 4, we may have to create another zone.
That is one thing the staff is going to have to consider.
Okay.
2.9 dwelling units per acre.
It's right on 3.
Yeah.
And you can see, you know, it wouldn't be tough with, that's not a sophisticated site plan. It wouldn't be tough to scale that off and see how big those lots actually are.
Yeah, right.
Some of them are obviously very small.
And how are they served by water and sewer? Is it wells and septic, or do they
aqua,
have
Aqua supplies water.
Yeah,
and I think the James River supplies sewer.
Yeah, 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 you're right, I understand that.
You joking?
No.
So it just rolls downhill?
This town was incorporated in, as I recall, 1818, and the infrastructure
was what it was.
Mm-hmm. It was, it dates from that period, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are wells, and there is a public water system.
So aqua, does aqua supply from the lake, or does
no,
it
they
supply
from
the river?
Wells.
From they created the wells.
Yeah, they have, okay. Well, the town owned the wells, I think, and I, as I recall, and I stand to be corrected on this, I think the town owned the water system at one point, and they sold it to.
I think I remember that.
Because mm-hmm. aqua had the ability to operate the wells.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be good to include so we know what their infrastructure is.
There's one little funny thing about Columbia, that they have a gun that's passed to each mayor. It's been passed down for years.
Well, they don't have a police force. They ought to have somebody keep it running.
I saw that in an article one time in the Fluvanna Review about Columbia. And they had a picture of it. So
I
like
think
that.
It's going to go to you as chairman of the planning commission.
Well, as you know, if you'll forgive a little historical digression here, and I don't have the maps in my head, but I do have some studies in my office of historical studies. Columbia's reason for being was navigation, because it's at the point of fork.
Right.
It's where the Fluvanna and the Rivanna converge. And it was a major commercial center. It was a major transportation center.
Where Sheridan destroyed Point of Fork, right?
We don't talk about him. but when I said that that's where the canal basin was, you can sort of see it. You see that curved area, that curved line going over to the river?
Mm-hmm.
That was the alignment of the canal. Mm. And what they did was they had the canal that went up the Rivanna. What they did was they had an area, it was equivalent to the railroad switchyard, where you bring in trains on one track and then another track joins it, and you need some area to make sure you got the right car on the right track.
Right.
And that was what was done. It was a basin, and it was where the canal boats would come in, and they would transship cargoes and change passengers and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. if a boat's going up river, becoming, you know, let's say from Richmond or from Maidens or someplace like that, if they're going to Lynchburg, they'd stay on the James. If they're going up the going to Milton or Palmyra, they'd be going up the Rivanna. So you need to have some area to switch the boats, and that was the canal basin, and that's why it's there, and that's why it's not important that it's in the floodplain.
Because they wanted it,
they wanted it close to the river,
right.
And close to the water specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gone down there, hands and knees, looked at this stuff, but I understand that you can actually go and find the structures of the canal basin. You know, if you look carefully enough. Not, if you're interested, I do have a couple of books on it.
And the next stop was Scott's Landing,
yeah.
Going up the river.
Next principal stop.
Right.
I'm sure if you went down to the river and waved, they'd probably pull over and you could jump on the boat. It's the way the railroads work. Why shouldn't the boats work like that?
Yeah.
So a lot of this stuff is very interesting, because the canal system was actually the second prototype public service company. The first one was the turnpike system. The canals were a little bit later, but the turnpike system, I think, originated in 1796, and the canals were 1810, 1820, around in then.
Did rail come after that?
Oh, yes. Rail was the the rail, the James River rail line was actually built largely on the towpath for the canal. Mm-hmm. But the initially the canal was on the Rivanna. The James actually floated in the river. And that was changed, I want to say in the 1860s, maybe in the 1850s. There's a wonderful plat book in the Albemarle County Clerk's Office that shows the original scaled drawings for the James River and Kanawha Canal, which is the one that ran along the James. And they had all these switching points and all this kind of stuff. But if you go down the Rivanna, you need to know what to look for. But if you go down there, you can actually see these structures that are still there. Because it had, unlike the upper James, the upper Rivanna, like we're used to looking at, the lower Rivanna had, say between Palmyra and Albemarle County line, you were basically in the river unless you got to rapids, and then would bypass canals around the rapids. And I'm sure you all seen the ones at Lake Monticello, because those are very well preserved, and they're quite impressive actually. But lower down, the canal had substantial stretches that were off, they were separated from, but parallel to the river. And the water was supplied by the river, but you can still see those too. The James River and Kanawha Canal was a much more elaborate thing. And the James River division of the railroad was largely built on the towpath for the James River and Kanawha Canal. Weren't expecting to get all this rich knowledge, were you?
And he asked about
some of which may actually be.
He asked about the levees and the possibility of that. One of the reasons they actually got the levees for Scottsville was the federal architecture. That was one of the things that they used. So,
Columbia, you know, I've always had kind of a soft spot for Columbia because I've sort of been there halfway their lawyer for 30 years or so, and. I'm sure Mr. Johnson would agree with me. There used to be some really wonderful buildings in Columbia.
Yeah.
There was the old Stone Hotel. That was a marvelous building that was torn down probably in the 90s. And, you couldn't use it because of that floodplain. You couldn't get loans on it. You couldn't build anything on it.
The floods of 69 and 72 just basically
devastated it. And what really finished it off was not the water, it was the federal legislation that came in and said, we got to keep you from building in the floodplain. That building was, as I recall, that was a sort of yellow sandstone, as I recall. It was a stone building.
I think so.
And a guy came in and tore it down and moved the stone, and I don't remember all the details of this, but my memory is that he took it to Buckingham County and built a stable out of it.
Built a what out of it?
Stable.
Stable.
Oh. Wow. Lucky horses.
So, it was, it hurt me when to go by there and watch him tear that building down, but, I didn't blame him, but it was sad.
Well, does this help you figure out where we're going with this?
It does, yes. Basically, we just wanted to get the conversation started.
Anything that we can do to help you with this?
Not at this point. I guess
we'll come back with something in the next month or so.
Sure.
Talk some.
I wonder
we'll
if
have to take a field trip
prior.
To,
yeah.
That's exactly.
Earlier
what
in the day,
you say, prior to actual zoning, maybe we should actually take a field trip as a group to this.
Good idea.
You
want to
write that down?
I doubt I'd forget the field trip. That sounds like the most fun part of the whole project.
By the way, just so there's no ambiguity about this, the town line on the east is coincident with the county line.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not true in Scottsville, but it is true in Columbia.
One of my concerns about Columbia is you've got a lot of low-income people there, and you've got to be careful. I don't mean you've got to be careful. But we've got to be careful thinking not flush them out, because where are they going to go?
No, you're absolutely correct, and that's been part of what's been going on with the task force. Because, and part of what the problem with some of the grants was, when it came to relocation, if it even appears to be gentrification, then you're not getting a grant. Mm-hmm. So that was part of it. And then my understanding is that they've been, you know, the task force has been in communication with residents as far as seeing some maybe want to go, and I don't believe any want to stay as of the last time, at least in the lower part, that would be an issue with the rebuilding and the floodplain. It's my understanding that most of them did not want to stay when they were offered maybe some sort of stipend to be relocated. They all said they would rather take that.
Of course, part of the problem is where do they go?
Yeah, and I've had people ask me, so if you don't take them, where are they going to go? And you know, some of them I haven't had a very good experience with. And but it's a problem. Where are you going to put these people?
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of them get kids and things, you know. I mean, it's not the best of conditions, but it is a condition.
Keeps most of the rain off.
Yeah.
Is there any other items that we need to discuss?
Yes, sir. Just wanted to make sure, make a point of mentioning that I got you all hard copies of the comprehensive plan, and I believe I've made every correction and addressed everything that we went over at the work session. So the numbers should all be corrected. The questionable phrasings have been removed. The vision statement has been corrected to the best of what any of us can do. If the board wants to change it, they can. But it's updated and as faithful to what they've written as possible at this point.
So when do you expect this to go to public hearing? Next month for us?
Yes.
We're looking at having the work session information session August 12th, and we're going to advertise and then have a public hearing scheduled for August.
If we have any more changes, what do we do?
Please contact me as soon as you notice them, and I'll do my best to, in real time, like if you email me on Monday about a problem, I'll get with Jason on Monday and hopefully have you a new hard copy, or not, a new electronic copy by Tuesday or Wednesday. Because at this point, it's all in PDF. It's very easy for me to take out a page and just slide in the new page.
When I talked to you yesterday,
You wouldn't have to give us a whole new packet if you're only changing a couple pages. You could just give us those pages and we can take those out.
That's correct. The reason I haven't been doing that, and I can do that if you'd prefer, I didn't want different people having different copies and looking at different pages, so I thought if every time it was a fresh one that we were all looking at, that's correct. What were you saying, Mr.
P? You said yesterday when I talked to you that took all of those references to the 5-acre stuff out of there.
That's correct. We looked everywhere. We didn't know why the heck those were there, but they're gone.
That was 5 acres in 5-acre lots minimum in the.
This was the specific in some of the density discussions. It said development should be relatively low density, i.e., 5 acres. And that isn't justified anywhere in the ordinance, so we removed those references.
And Jay, we questioned the income.
I looked it over.
And I still don't think that's right.
I don't know what to do about that at this point.
I don't agree with it based on my experience, and I come in contact with a lot of people, and I don't agree with the rent either. But of course, it doesn't matter what I think about it. But I wonder where they got those figures.
Well, I mean, from the census.
They got it from a 2010 census.
And then it's been since updated.
Do they ask people what are you paying in rent, or what are you?
No,
the
rent affordability was completely a function of the income.
Income.
Because the affordability, 80% of the median income is where the line for the affordability goes,
mm-hmm.
And then the burden for everyone is 30% of their income. So if somebody's income is 80% of the median, then any cost, including utilities for their housing, more than 30% of that 80% of the median would bring in the affordability factor.
Mm-hmm. Something like $1,300 or
it got lowered a little bit. I think to maybe 12, because basically what happened is the $71,000 that I had gotten in January is about $68,000 now, and I checked all of that with the Weldon Cooper and with the people.
I'll have the Jefferson Planning people.
That's correct. And so I mean those are the numbers, and I mean really there are some wealthy people in the county. There are lower income people in the county, but there's enough wealthy people in the county that's where the number. Yeah. And as far as the affordability, I mean, it does seem like a pretty high number, but you know, 1,200 or 13. But you're also including utilities in that, and I don't know anybody with a mortgage that's less than 850 a month. So when you add on electric and water or whatever else, it gets pretty close to that number.
Yeah, I think what I'm concerned is we've both been landlords in Fluvanna, mm-hmm. and we don't get that kind of rent.
Sure.
Even with the you know, utilities.
I would say that renters are. There's a lot less of them to pad out the numbers than there would be in, say, Richmond, where you have a large renting population that would bring that number down. Here, mm-hmm. you know, there's whole communities of people that own their homes.
What actually inflates it, I think, is the lake. And if we, what are we at, 40% of the population is in the lake area, so... And a lot of them have multiple incomes. So a lot of people that have come down here that have retired from the service, and they're getting income from that and other things also. So I think that kind of inflates the actual income for the entire
county. It raises the mean.
Yes.
It would be interesting if there were a way to get them to exclude the lake to see what that number would be. I wonder if that is something that somebody could do.
I don't know what difference it would make, because we couldn't, you know, that's set by law, right?
Well, they probably have it broken down by census tract.
They do have it by census tract. So if the census tract,
they could probably generate those figures, but yeah. I don't know how useful they'd be.
It would just be a point of curiosity more than anything else. And of course, you'd need the census tracts to line up pretty perfectly, or you'd be, you know, possibly looking at parts outside or excluding parts outside of the lake, unless it's perfect, which I don't know, but I would doubt that it's. I've never seen a census tract just give me the information I wanted and not either include or exclude some of the area that I wanted.
And I asked this question the other day, and I think the answer was yes. All of y'all have read this, looked at it, and looked for anything that, you know, that were glaring or anything like that also.
That doesn't mean that we didn't catch something, so we're going to read it again.
Sure. But we did have a great meeting, the three of us, because obviously Steve knows more about the subdivisions and about zoning than I do, and then obviously Jason does as well. So having them come in and look it over, and there were a few things they were able to explain to me and things like that, so it was very helpful.
Do we have any other questions? Any other business? If not, 8:07, we will adjourn the meeting.
She's a piece of
really? Have you started training with?
I'm not really training, but my daughter's doing.
Oh,
I'm going to bring her up here.
Thank you.
When I went in to get the
water, you were walking around. I don't know what you're talking about.